Father, I just thank you. I just thank you and praise you. Father, I just worship you. I thank you. You are the God of all grace. Father, I just worship you. I thank you for your great love with what you love us. Father, I thank you. You loved us so much you sent your son, Jesus. Father, I just praise you and I worship you. Father, I ask that you open our ears that we can hear. Father, I ask that you open our eyes that we can see, that you open our hearts just like you did for Lydia, that we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Father, I thank you that you turn us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto you. And Father, I thank you for your spirit of grace. For your spirit of grace, let us only see Jesus. Father, let us only see Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Father, I just thank you. All right, if you will turn with me to John 10, we're going to go over our verses quickly so we can get these in because they need to be said and they need to be on this tape. As I've said before, this program goes all over the world on live, on shortwave radio. On shortwave radio. So what we do here is heard all over the world. And that grace is all over the world. And we are also on 5 radio stations here in the States. And I would welcome anyone that listens to these tapes, that if you can and you have a computer, go to my website, kdwol.com, KD, Kathy Davidson, W-O-L, wateroflife.com, and listen to these programs more than once. Because they won't happen in a day. Your heart can't receive it all at once when you're first starting. I know it took me years. It took me years for God to break my broken heart, but he finally got it broken. And I could finally hear. And that's what we want to do today. So John 10, verse 35, it's Jesus speaking. And it's a phrase in this verse that I get to. Jesus said, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came. And here's the phrase I want to get to. And the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. The word of God is alive today just like it was 3,000 years ago. That word of God cannot be changed. That word of God will be here after our world is gone. That word of God will never go away. That word of God will exist forever. That word of God is Jesus. But that word cannot be broken. And if you can understand this verse, that the word of God cannot be broken, that means that if you set your faith, if you set your heart, if you trust in this word, it will, has to come to pass. It has to. Why? Because it can't be broken. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Now, let's go to 1 Peter 3, the reason for our program. I'm going to begin in chapter 1 Peter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And it says, this states, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning. Don't let your adorning be the outward adorning. Don't let you be all pretty on the outside and ugly on the inside. That's what this is saying. Let's read that. Whose adorning, let it not be that adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. And we say, well, that means we can't do that. No. Do you know what Solomon's wives look like? They were some hot chicks, folks. All right. Now, but it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. That's where you want the beauty. That's where you want the beauty, in that which is not corruptible, not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. So God considers a woman a great price, which is in a meek and a mild spirit. And like somebody said last week, well, do we have to be meek and mild when we're praying? Oh, no. No. We are prayer warriors. The meek and the mild spirit is walking in the gospel, walking with the troubles around you, But oh, it's so wonderful to be 5'2", 110 pounds, and go after the devil with everything in you and watch him bow. That is so much fun. All right. Now, I want us to go to Luke 4. You know what? About that meek and mild spirit. When you get Jesus on the inside, and Jesus was meek and mild. When you get Jesus on the inside, that's when we get our meek and mild spirit. And you know what the wonderful thing is? You get the inside dressed up. You get that inside fixed, and it automatically comes to the outside. It goes to the outside. You can't help it. It radiates. It radiates. I've had my family look at me after being here, down here several years, and they say, "You look better now than when you left." Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Why? Because I got Jesus on the inside, and he's shining on the outside. Now, Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking. This is our Messiah, and he's talking, and he's preaching his first sermon. And he stands in a place and they don't like him. They don't like the sermon. But he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." What boldness. What boldness. They knew it as this kid that grew up with Mary and Joseph. But now he stands up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now he's baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now he starts his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me." Look, the Father sent Jesus to preach the gospel. And the Father sent Jesus, why? He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. What I love about this, it's obvious the Father knew we had broken hearts because he sent Jesus. And for his first sermon, he says, "I'm here to heal the broken hearts." What a wonderful hear. What a wonderful thing to hear that Jesus was sent to heal our broken hearts. So the Father, the God, Jehovah, knows we have broken hearts. It says he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Well, then he knew there were those of us captive. He knew there were those of us that are captive. You know, some are captive with drugs. Do you know what? The Father sent Jesus to deliver you from the drugs. He didn't send you like we found last week. He didn't send Jesus to condemn you. He sent Jesus to save you. And now he knows that some of us are held captive. And you know what he did? He sent Jesus to save you. He sent Jesus to save you from what's got you captive. Now, the next, he said, "And recovering of sight to the blind." And that is being blind physically, and that is also being blind in the spirit, not understanding what's going on, not understanding why you're in the position you're in, not understanding why it doesn't work. You know what? The Father sent Jesus to open your eyes. That's why I pray that. When God opens your eyes, and that word of God becomes alive. Not a Sunday school lesson. Not something you have to memorize. When that word becomes alive, it starts working in your heart. And you overcome what is against you. Even your voice. It says, "In recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty." To set at liberty. He sent Jesus to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know what? There have been words that have bruised us. They got deep down in us and they bruised us. And you know what? God knew it. God knows it. That's why he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to save us. He didn't send Jesus to destroy us, and he didn't send Jesus to condemn us. He sent Jesus for one purpose: saving you. And if you don't believe that, we'll show you in John 3. Now, turn with me to Isaiah 52. We are going to preach some of that gospel. And we're going to look at today what Jesus did on the cross for us concerning healing. And not only on the cross, but what the Father had Jesus do. When you see that everything that Jesus did on this earth was part of a deliberate plan by God. It was a deliberate plan. Nothing happened to Jesus that was happenstance. Everything was deliberately planned by the Father. Everything. And why? We just read it. Jesus was sent to preach the gospel, to heal the broken hearts, to heal the bruised, to liberate, to open our eyes. That's why Jesus was sent. And every act that he went through was for us, was to get us saved. It was to get us saved. And you know what the wonderful thing about the word saved is? It includes healing. It includes prosperity. It includes peace. That saved includes anything you need. That's what Jesus was sent for. So Isaiah 53, I'm going to go to verse 4. And this is Jesus on the cross. And it says, surely, Isaiah prophesied this 700 years before Jesus even showed up. 700 years. And Jesus walked this to the letter. And you don't think God had a deliberate plan? Everything was mapped out before he even came to the earth. And it was all in the scriptures. And it was all for us. It was all for us. Now, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely, surely. That word means you better pay attention. Surely, he has borne our griefs. That word is sickness. Surely, not maybe, surely, surely. You know what? The word of God cannot be broken. Surely. And you're wondering what's going on with my voice? The devil doesn't want me to speak this, and I'm going to speak it anyway. I've never been able to sing baritone until yesterday. All right. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That word is pain. Surely, when Jesus was on the cross, he had our sickness and he had our pain on him. Not only that, he had my sickness on him and he had my pain on him. And who put it there? The Father. And why did the Father put it there? For you. For me. He came to save. And the way he was going to get us healed, and the way he was going to get us with no pain, was somebody was going to have to take it for us. And God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus. And I want to say this. It would have been, like I said before, it would have been fine for Jesus to come to the earth as an angel or as the God that he was in heaven and heal everybody that came to him, because that's what he did. Everybody that came to Jesus got healed. It had been fine for him to do that as an angel. It had been fine for him to do that as a God. But he had to be a man for this. He had to be a man for this. That's why he was a man. A man had to take your sickness and your disease. A man had to take your sin. A man had to take it. God can't hold sin. And a God can't be sick. And a God can't die, and neither can an angel. That's why God made Jesus a man. And he said in Hebrews, "He has prepared me a body." A body. Why? So he could get sick with our sicknesses, and he could get pain with our pains, and so he could take on our sin. He had to be a man, and he had to feel every bit of this. Not only that, he had to die. He had to die. A man had to die to fix what a man messed up in the first place. Adam, a man had to die. You can't kill an angel and you can't kill God. You can't. A man had to die. Oh, thank God he became a man for me. Thank God he became a man for us. Now, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Oh, devil, I just love this. Now, turn with me to Isaiah 50. This is one of the most beautiful scriptures I have ever read. There are days when I meditate on Jesus on the cross. And he was absolutely grotesque. And he was absolutely so hard to look at, but it is the most beautiful picture you will ever see. Why? Because that's me up there. He did it for me. And you know why he did it for me? Because he loved me. He loved me. And he loved you. He loved you. And he proved it by going there. You want a love letter. This man proved it. There's your love letter. Now, if you will go with me to Isaiah 50, verse 5. This is Jesus prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before he got here. And the wonderful thing is about this, Isaiah prophesied exactly what was going to happen to Jesus. And it's actually, if you know Peter, it is Jesus speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And he's talking about himself. And he's using Isaiah's mouth. And he's using Isaiah's heart. And let's hear what Jesus said. He said, the Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. Do you see those beautiful words? Jesus is now a man. And he said, and I was not rebellious. I didn't run away from what God had me to do. He said, I was not rebellious, neither turned I away back. I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my back to the smiters. They didn't force him. He gave his back to the smiters. He turned his back when they got that scourge out. And I want us to, we'll see here in a minute, he did not receive the 40 lashes minus one that the Jews gave. He did not get that. These are the Roman soldiers. Totally different group. He got the Roman scourge. He did not get the lashes the Jews gave. He got the Roman scourge. And we're going to take a look at that scourging here in a moment. He said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. It says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I will not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint. And I know I shall not be ashamed. He gave them his back. Now let me describe to you the Roman scourge. It is not a whip that the Israelites, the Jews, used. The Roman scourge was a bunch of ropes, short ropes, not long, short. And in those ropes, and they were leather tongs, they tied pieces of bone and they tied pieces of metal into them so that when they hit your back, it cut it. And it cut it deep. And they did not have a rule in their law that said, you can only strike them 40 times. That's the Jews. The Romans could hit you as much as they wanted to. Their law did not stop them from going and doing anything they wanted. Jesus took the scourge. Turn with me to Mark 15. Mark 15, 15. And so Pilate. So now he's not in the Jews' hands. He's in the Romans' hands now. And the Romans were a lot more cruel. He said, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. They scourged Jesus. Now I want to read to you an account, a history account of a man that was back, that wrote back in the 300s when they were still doing this to the Christians. And I want to read you a short paragraph of what that man wrote. The guy's name is Eubius Pamphilius, and he was a history writer. He wrote the history of Christianity back in the 300s. And he wrote about the scourging. And he said, he's talking about the Christians. He said, they record the events which beheld the rest of the martyrs. The martyrs. Jesus, a martyr. and described the great firmness which they exhibited in the midst of their pain. In the midst of their pain. For they say that the bystanders were struck with amazement when they saw them lacerated with scourges, even to the innermost veins and arteries, so that the hidden inward parts of the body, both their bowels and their members, were exposed to view. Now, God shows me pictures. I see in pictures. God reveals to me things in pictures. And he revealed to me a picture of a man, scourged. And it was as if his back was peeled away. And you could actually see the intestine. And you could see the veins and the arteries, the layers. That's what Jesus took. That's what he gave his back to the smiters to do. He gave his back. Don't ever forget that. They didn't take it from him. He gave it to him. And he gave it to him for you. He gave it to him for you. There is where your sickness and disease was paid for. Go back with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And this next phrase, and with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. That's where cancer went. It went on the back of Jesus. That's where any disease, tuberculosis, venereal, any disease that we have, any sickness went on that body. And that scourge paid for it. Paid for it. Look at those verses. Meditate on those verses. That's where your sickness was paid for. It was paid for. And it was paid for dearly. That's where anything that you need healing for was paid for on his body. Now, turn with me to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 24. Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came, said, by his stripes we are healed. Peter picked it right up. Peter watched Jesus, saw him. He said, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree. Peter watched him. He saw what he looked like when he came out of the Roman hall. He saw that scourge was so bad that Jesus didn't make it all the way carrying his own cross. Somebody had to carry it for him. You know why the Romans scourged you before you were crucified? So they wouldn't have to wait days for you to die. You went to that cross half dead already. You went to the cross half dead already. And Jesus took the scourge. Somebody carried his cross for him. And then they nailed him to the tree. And that sickness, our sicknesses and diseases fell on that body. That's why every bone was dislocated. That's why he was marred more than any man. It wasn't what man was doing to him. It was what our sickness, our disease, and our sin was doing to him on the tree. And he took it. And he gladly took it. And he set his face like flint. And he stayed conscious. And he wouldn't let go of his spirit until everything that he needed to do for you was accomplished. He made it all. Made sure everything was accomplished on that tree. Including your sickness and your disease. By his stripes, you were healed. Peter's looking back at the cross. Isaiah was talking about present tense. Peter watched it happen. Do you know it's already been done? Do you know your sickness has already been paid for? Do you know your pain has already been paid for? And then you say, well, okay, how come I'm having such a hard time? I'll show you. And this so blessed me. I want us to go to Romans 1. This walk that we walk in the gospel is not instant perfection. It is not instant perfection. It talks about it in the Old Testament. He said, if God would make us perfect, then all the things around us would take us over because we wouldn't know how to handle it. So it's piece by piece, and it's faith to faith. I'll show you right here. Romans 1, verse 16. This is Paul speaking. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not afraid to trust in it. He said, for it is the power of God. There's where your power is. Your power is in the gospel. There's where the power is. The power was made in the gospel. The power was made when Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus walked in that gospel on the earth. That's why he could heal. All that he healed, the Father working in him. Jesus couldn't do a thing, but that spirit in him could. Why? Because the gospel was coming. Because the payment was coming. Now, it says to the, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed all at once. From faith to faith. You won't start healing by healing cancer. You will start walking with God and healing the flu. It is faith to faith. You don't start walking in prosperity getting $1 million. God walks you. And you know what the wonderful thing is? God walks you. God knows you don't have it, and he walks you. Jesus leads you, and he will lead you into perfect healing. He leads, and it starts with the small things, and then it gets more, and then it gets more. Well, what if I get really sick? You go to the doctor. You go to the doctor. Doyle has preached here from the beginning. You go to the doctor, and like I say, you go, but you go believing the gospel. You don't go to the doctor just giving up with no faith. You go to the doctor in faith, and God will meet you where you're at. He meets you. That's how much he loves us. He meets us where we're at. Turn with me to Romans 12:2. I'm going to read it real quick. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You don't start perfect. And God knows it. He wrote it right here through Paul. You begin with the small things, and then they get larger. I remember the first time God directed me about healing. I had the flu. I was in Richardson. And I had Kristen, my daughter, was just born. Oh, I had the flu. And I sat down in a rocking chair and I said, okay, maybe this stuff is real. I'd been going to Water of Life for a little while. And so I sat in my chair and I started binding witchcraft in the name of Jesus. And I started binding witchcraft. I bind you. I bind you. I bind you, you witchcraft. I bind you. 5 minutes later, I stopped and I went, oh my Lord, I'm not sick. I mean, I was perfectly healed. Nobody was more shocked than I was. You know what? The next time, it wasn't so easy. Why? Because the grace, God's saying, come on. Come on, believe. Come on, believe. You start small and you get bigger and you get bigger, and there will be a day. There will be a day when you will walk in perfect health. But when you have, I had several women 1 week, same time, there two or three were going to surgery for the same thing. And they were they messaged me and they were nervous. They said, I just don't have the faith for this. I said, I understand. Actually, one said, it's just not working. I said, well, have you ever been able to heal yourself from flu? Well, no. Well, don't think you can do this then. Humble yourself and let God meet you at the doctor's office. Thank God for doctors, for those of us that are learning. Because one day that doctor is going to say, I don't need to see you anymore. I watched God heal a man that was on dialysis. And his urologist went to him one day and said, it's amazing. It's a miracle. I don't have to ever see you again. God healed him. That's what we're after. That's why we lay down our life. That's why we get rid of the flesh. That's what we're after. But you know what? You can't even start this until you were born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Your church didn't say it. Your religion didn't say it. An organization didn't say it. Society certainly didn't say it. Jesus said it. And if you call yourself a Christian, you have to listen to the words of your Savior, Jesus. And Jesus said you must be born again. How are we born again? You go in prayer to Jesus and you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life. I believe you. I believe you were raised from the dead. And when you say those words, when you call on his name, he is obligated and happy to come into your heart. His spirit will come into your spirit and you will be alive. And your eternity in heaven starts right there. Right there. There's where you are walking toward heaven. The moment you make Jesus your Lord and he comes into your heart. Amen. Amen. Has anybody got my problem? I give thanks, boy. I've never had this kind of resistance ever. I give thanks, Jesus. 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 Father, I thank you. You deliver us from all unbelief. Father, I thank you. You deal with our unbelief. I thank you. You love to deliver us from unbelief. I give thanks, Father. You love to deliver us from unbelief. You love to deliver us. That's why you sent Jesus, so you could deliver us. I thank you. You deliver us from unbelief. I thank you. All unbelief, all doubt. Father, I thank you. You deliver us from unbelief. I thank you. He gave his back for us. I thank you. He gave his face to us. He gave his body. He will not turn us aside. I give thanks. All unbelief now. All unbelief. I break the power of unbelief now. 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 I break that power of unbelief now. I break the power of unbelief now, in Jesus' name, I break the power of unbelief. Oh, shut up, devil. I break the power of unbelief. 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 I break that power. 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 I break that power of unbelief. I break that power of unbelief. I break that power. I break the power of unbelief. I break the power. I break the power of unbelief. 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 I break that power. I break that power. I break that power. I break that power. I break that power of unbelief. I break that power. I break that power. You know what some of our unbelief is? Fear. Fear. You know what it says in Romans 8? He that spared not his own son, how will he not freely give you all things? But we're afraid that it's for everybody but us. We're afraid. We yield to that fear. Yield to the word. Yield to the word, not fear. Yield to the word. Don't fear. Yield to the word. I break the power of this wicked fear now in Jesus' name. I break the power of this wicked fear. Fear. He is for you. He came to save you. He came to save you. He came to heal you. He came to make you prosperous. He came to heal that broken heart. He came. I break the power of this fear. I break the power of this fear in Jesus' name. I break the power of this fear in Jesus' name. Amen. I break the power of this fear in Jesus' name. I break the power of this fear now in Jesus' name. I break the power. How will he not with this freely give you all things? All things, all things, all things. How will he not freely give you all things? All things. How will he not freely give you all things? All things. All things. How will he not, he that spared not his own son, how will he not freely give you all things? All things. All things. All things are yours. Jesus paid for it. All things are yours. All things. All things. All things. All things. All things are yours. How will he not freely give you all things? I break the power of this fear. I break the power of this unbelief. I break the power of this rejection. If he spared not his own son, how will he not freely give you all things? All things. All things. How will he not freely give you all things? What time is it, Anthony? I get thanks. Okay. How will he not freely give you all things? I break the power of this fear. 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 I break the power of this rejection. Oh, that is a nasty spirit. I break the power of this rejection. I break the power of this rejection. You have not been rejected by God. Jesus paid for you dearly. I give thanks. I give thanks. How will he not freely give you all things? Freely, freely give you all things, all things. How will he not freely give you all things? How will he not freely give you all things? I give thanks, Jesus, I thank you. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Amen. Amen. All things. Come out, you fear. Come out, you fear. Come out, you fear. Come out, you fear. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out this rejection. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the Ministers of Music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.